Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and boy, we're starting off this week on this Memorial Day holiday with the power of mind power. My guest today is Dr. Anne Marie Evers. She is in Canada, and on this holiday where we're honoring so many of those that have given their lives in the service of this wonderful country, I do think that her book, Affirmations, is absolutely wonderful to be talking about. Why? We need to be aware of the power that we have as individuals. When we see and hear things that causes grief, see and hear of various things that are going on in the world, we need to know that where we are in the present, in the now, can have a tremendous impact, not just in our own life, but it can ripple out and touch in a universal way that can be extremely positive with the power of word affirmations. I want to welcome Dr. Anne Marie Evers, who's been called the Doctor of Affirmations. Welcome, Anne Marie, to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight. Your book, I found, was just power-packed. If someone wanted to just really go through it, that would be a great thing. But then after they read through it, they need to go back and be selective to find out what it is that really what it touches them the most. And that's what's so good about your book, Affirmations. You have made it so that it's user-friendly. And you've got so many people that your life experience has enabled you to cross paths with. But tell us how you came to the awareness of the use of affirmations, because you did not always have this awareness.
That's so true. Well, it happened that my first husband was an alcoholic, and I thought to myself, I need to do one of three things. I need to leave him, take the children. I had two small children, and leave him, or I need to drink with him, or I need to find other interests to enable me to cope. So I checked to make sure anybody could take me in. At that time, no one could take in me with two small children, and that's quite a few years ago. So we didn't have that many shelters and that around. So that option was out, and the other option to drink with him was not an option because I figured my children had one alcoholic parent, and that was too much. And so the next thing was to find other options and other interests. So I started checking, and I found a lot of them. I took up a lot of different modalities, and then I just found affirmations, and I thought, this sounds interesting. I didn't even know what the word was at that time. And then I started finding out about it, learning about it, and doing trial and error, doing things. Did they work? Did they not work? And you know, Donna, my husband did not stop drinking, but mm-hmm. I changed the way I felt about it, and he cut way back, and things were so much better in our home. So it gave me a coping mechanism, and it was just the most powerful coping mechanism, because I believe that affirmations are similar to prayers, wishes, or goals, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. only we're more specific of what we want.
Well, I think that you've mentioned a couple of things that are very, very important. Coping strategy. That is where you're giving yourself a power of choice, number one. You worked through your options. You actually analyzed things. What can I do? And you started exploring. So you said, I've got to find something that's going to work for me. And at that time, and I'll reiterate, you didn't have support systems like there are in many places today. Then you said, I have to change myself. I have to change the way I think. I have to take responsibility for myself. And that is the power, I think, that can reside affirmations. You don't worry about changing somebody else, per se.
No, and we can't, can we? We can only change ourselves.
Can't. That's right. And so that is something where I think of a woman that I know of who has an extremely negative husband. Extremely negative. Statements will come out. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's hardly any compliments. And it was driving her crazy. She just felt like she was beaten down. And one day, not unlike you, she came across something and she said, you know what? I can't fix him. And she was in a situation where she was not able to, let's say, just walk away and leave. And that's something that a lot of people need to recognize. We often are so critical of others, but we don't know all of their circumstances. And what she did was work with affirmation. She said, I have to change me. And if there's
exactly.
an option for me to leave, I will. And by golly, that's what she did. And then a door opened where she was able to leave the environment.
Exactly. And I think that's so powerful. And also, you know, I was doing an affirmation before I even knew what an affirmation was, because my son was born with crooked feet, and they were so crooked they were touching his leg, and the doctor said he would never walk, and at that time they wanted like $10,000. Well, to us today that's like $200,000 or whatever, because that was back in the 50s, and so anyway, I would look at my son sitting in the high chair, and I would say, you will walk, and I'd tell people, my son will walk, and they said, but you don't have the money. How can you say that? And I was so focused on that, and I prayed every night that he would walk. We'd find a way, and you know, there was a gentleman came to one of our, we had a little snack bar, and he stopped in, and he said, what's wrong with the little fellow? And I told him the story. Well, he came back, and he said, I've got it set up that you can have all the work done with the Shriners. So that worked out so amazing. I didn't even know who the Shriners were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I started, even people, when they make a statement with like, especially about a child, you know, when you're children, you make statements and you really want the best for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I focused on that, and it worked. So I've had so many powerful affirmations work in my life. In fact, Donna, I can't imagine life without affirmations. I do them every day of my life.
Mm-hmm. And I think in today's environment, of course, I've never known it not to be the case, the aspect about money. The universe is not limited, and there are so many arenas of opportunity. I was reviewing some material over this weekend for an upcoming interview next month, and I was reading through the material that was being presented in the book, and I thought, there are so many people that believe that the universe is limited, that we are disempowered, we don't have choices, we don't have options. And this is perpetuated so frequently by conversation. And I thought, that is not the case. The universe is ever-changing. That's just the nature of life, that we go through shifts and alterations, but that doesn't mean we give in and we disempower ourselves.
Exactly.
And that is something that affirmations give us.
And the power is from within, isn't it, Donna? It's
yes.
the power from within us. It's, we're not looking at some outside thing. And I do believe that God has given us a birthright to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. So why don't we just accept our birthright? And if someone told me I had $100,000 waiting for me at the bank and all I had to go was to go and sign for it and accept it, I certainly would go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
Absolutely.
What is stopping us from doing it? I think it's our beliefs that it's not, the universe is limited, where we don't, and the big word comes in, Donna, is deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my, yes.
And if you don't feel you deserve, and you sit there and think, well, you say one moment, money flows to me in avalanches of abundance. The next moment you say, I don't deserve it. it cancels it out, doesn't it? It negates that statement. So we have to at least be open to the fact, don't we, before we can do affirmations. And I believe it's good to put yourself into a real state of relaxation and a gratefulness and say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, I agree. Now, one of the biggest challenges, and I think a lot of this can come from societal indoctrination, religious indoctrination, I don't care what a person's belief systems are. You brought out a powerful word, I deserve.
Yes.
And so many people have been in situations where they're hurting, where they maybe have been very badly abused, where really life has been kicking them right in the face, right in the teeth, and they are wounded. They are just absolutely wounded. I've been there. You've been there.
Yes, I
have. You know
have.
What it's like? You actually feel like there is just nothing but this dark, deep hole that you're in, and you curl up in almost a fetal position, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You are just, you're dead in the water. That's how I'll describe it.
Yes, I agree.
And we need to be able to release some things. And you have a hot air balloon releasing method that you talk about in your book that I think is wonderful. Would you share that?
Oh, that's what happens is, what you do is, what I do is when you think about, like, the things that you need to release, and what I would do is, or the person. Now, I always tell people, you don't put the person in there if you're getting child support payments from them, because you don't want to release that. So you put your feelings about the person in a balloon, and I put it in before it's blown up in little pieces of paper saying, and then always to the good of all parties concerned, because that's the safety net for every single master affirmation, is to the good of all, which is to the good of the person making the affirmation too. And then I do the affirmation as I put it in, and then I just You have a string on it, and you hold it in your hand, and then you just release it and let it go up into the universe. Now, I have since learned that sometimes the balloons are not good for the whales and the life, mm-hmm. Releasing mm-hmm. real balloons, so helium balloons. So what I do is I do the exercise exactly in my mind, which is very good because, the mind does not know the difference between a real and imagined event, and it makes it happen. And I do it in my mind, and it's just amazing how when you watch it going up into the air, even if you do it in your mind, it's amazing how you release that you feel like you've dropped like 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a method with the cup.
Oh, I love that one. And that one has happened. I love them all, but this one, I've used this so many times. And this is where if you have, I was mad at my first husband, Al, for drinking, and then that meant that the doctor told him if he quit drinking, he could, and smoking at the time, he could live, but he chose to do both. And I was angry when he passed away suddenly of a heart attack. And so I remember thinking, I'm so mad, and I was in a bad financial situation because I was in real estate, and I couldn't do real estate when I was crying and, have open house and mm-hmm. burst into tears. That's not very good. And so anyway, I got this cup, and it was one that he had, and I filled it up with water, and I thought, I'm going to release all this stuff. So I sat there, and as I sat with the cup in my hand, I visualized all my anger of him for not stopping to drink and for all the things. And I visualized it coming out of my eyes, ears, nose, and mouth and dripping into the water, into the cup I had in my lap. And I did that, and when I felt I was finished for that day, because it's a 21-day exercise, I would take it to the sink, and I would dump it down the drain, and I'd say to myself, can I ever get that water back? Well, I know I could never get it back. So with it had gone part of my anger and frustration. And so anyway, I remember I did this for 21 days, and I suggest that people make a little calendar, Donna, because the thing is, when I first started, I thought, this is ridiculous, a grown woman dumping water down the sink, and I didn't feel anything for the first 2 or 3 days. And then the fourth day, I felt a little bit better, and then it went along the same for a while. And then on the 20th day, I started to feel really quite good. And the 21st day, guess what? it was like a big weight had been lifted, and I didn't have that anger I had. And I went back to my real estate office and to work. I'd been off for a couple, 3 weeks. And so somebody said to me, "How come you're so happy? Your husband just died." And I looked at her, and I thought, should I say anything? I didn't say a word. I went right back to the sink, and I took a cup, and I wrote, "My guilt for feeling happy," because I was starting to feel a little tinge of happiness because I had released all that and I was feeling guilty. So I did that, and I did that for 21 days. And then the same lady asked me then about 2 months later, and I said, "I'm happy because I am. I am that I am that I am, and I'm happy. And I'm becoming happier and happier." Now, you can't be happy just after your husband died. I'm not saying that. But we can work on having a different kind of getting rid of that anger and building on happiness. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. I agree. I think that we have so many myths that we carry forward that burden us, where we're to go through darkness and we're supposed to suffer and everything is supposed to be stinking in life. I'm telling you, I think back on so much of the stuff I was taught when I was growing up and the environment of most people's thinking. And I go, I don't need that. I don't want that anymore. And I'm sure there's a lot of my listeners that feel the same way. They go, "I am just weary of not feeling empowered. I do not choose to be disempowered anymore." Now, that is a very important step.
Exactly.
The choice of saying, "I am taking charge of my mind." And there's a sentence in your book, and I'm going to quote from it. "There's no object, goal, or affirmation too small or too big for the universal mind to manifest." Now, that is something that many, many people have a hard time wrapping their minds around. And one of the things that I like to share with people, and I'd enjoy your feedback on this, is that when you have an objective, when you have a goal, you may find that your objective is totally obtainable, but it may take a little bit of time.
Exactly.
Cooperation of the balance and the components needed to bring something into place are very important. And I've talked to so many people in the counseling aspect where they maybe want a relationship, they want it right now, and I'll say, "Well, you're not ready," or maybe the person isn't ready. Things haven't come into fruition, but I want it right now. Well, then they attract somebody into their space that is totally opposite of what they really want. Then they're miserable, and then they cry, and they wonder, "Why does it happen to me?" We really have a mentality, I think, about life. We don't know how to be in the flow. I think it's one of the most difficult lessons to learn. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. And, you know, my affirmation at the end of each chapter says, "Affirmations, when properly done, always work." And then I add, sometimes not in our time frame or as we think they should. And, you know, that's so true because I'm sure you can and I can look back and say, thank God for some unanswered prayers. Because
we
were asking for things that were definitely not good. And that's where the powerful to the good of all parties concerned comes in. And that's so important, Donna, because when you use that in your affirmations, it's got to be to everyone's good. And it's so true. So many people come to me and they want a relationship, and yet they're so angry. They're filled with anger with their ex. Well, how can they put another person in there when they're already filled up with all anger?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to release and let go. And that's where the cup exercise is so simple and easy to do. And I had a psychologist from the Seattle area that was obsessed about a lady. And so he came to see me. He came up here to Vancouver to see me. And he said, I said, "Well, why don't you try the cup?" He says, "Well, okay, I'll try it." So he did. And then he wrote me and he says, "I couldn't figure out. He spent all those years learning all this stuff." And he says, "Then you come and tell me about a cup and water," and it worked. And it was, you know, why it worked. It's because He wanted it to work. He did it faithfully. And he brought in the five physical senses, too, because he could see the water. He could hear it. He put some lemon in it so he could smell it. And for taste, he could taste it. And he said that the obsession left him. He still worked with the lady, but he said it was amazing how he changed how he viewed her. Isn't that interesting? The lady didn't change, but he did.
Yes, and that is the key. I think that is where we have to begin. We have to begin with ourselves.
Yes.
And that is so very, very important. I wanted to get into talking about money because we have had a stinking economy here in the United States. We have had corruption headlines across the newspapers, the news media is bantering about this, that, or the other. We've had so much stuff that has been coming up, which I think is good. I think any time you have a bunch of dirty water, you need to have the gunk come up and come out so you can get some Clorox bleach and a scrub brush and get busy. That's my bias.
I
really think that there are so many people, and some of them may be listening today, who just say, I am so weary. I just don't know what to do. I'm facing a foreclosure on my home. I am looking at so many parts of my life I can't afford to go here, go there, go otherwhere. Let's help them out today, Anne-Marie. Let's give them something that they can walk away with. Share a process that you would want someone to know.
Well, for money, I have a big money to me now process that really works for a lot of people. And how it works is you write big money to me now at the top of a page. Now, you have to think first, what is big money to you? Because if you saw a man on the street and you gave him $100, he'd think that was big money. But if you gave it to someone like Bill Gates, it'd be good pocket change. You know what I mean? So you have to get what you think is big money. One lady said, well, I set my intention for $5,000. So she did this big money to me now. And underneath that, you abbreviate and you put B $TMN, which is the first letter of the, like B, big, and then $, and then a T for two, and M-E. Now, and you abbreviate that and write it down, abbreviate it 77 times. It doesn't take very long when you abbreviate it quickly, but the secret is you say it out loud. Now, what this does, people say, well, how can that work? Well, what you're doing is you're getting the money consciousness and you're bringing that to you. And to me, I use that when I need it for anything. And so many people will say it came in the most strange way. Somebody had owed me money I forgot about or had written off, and they came and paid me back. Or someone said I got a contract that was for that amount of money when I figured it out. So there's so many, that's one exercise that people can do. Another one is get a simple money tree and put in your apartment, or if you, a little plant if you can, or in in the yard out there, bring a little tree in on your sun deck or whatever. And what I did was I didn't have the money to put, so I put pieces of paper that designated like $5, $10. Now, you still have $1 and $2 bills. We don't have that anymore. We have, of course, we have loonies and toonies, which are not paper money. But and I put that on the tree, and I kept one in my living room. I had it on the sun deck, and then I brought it in. I brought a little one, and I brought it in and put it in. And I'd look at that all the time. Or I'd get Monopoly money, you know, that looks like real money.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go by it, I'd say, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I got enough money that I put real money on there. And in those days, we did have, you know, different, like, ones and twos. I put all the different denominations. And every time I would have about $100 on there, and I keep it in a place where people could not see it, but I could see it. And I would go and borrow from it. And every time I borrowed from it, I would put some interest on, put another dollar or two back. And that brought my money consciousness, you see, because people, when you don't have money, all you're thinking about is, I don't have money. Whereas when you see money in existence, then you can, it brings your mind to it, and then you start to believe, and it's the faith. And, you know, I read somewhere, too, that You can do affirmations, and I've done it myself many times without any belief to start with, but it's the repetition, doing it over and over again, that really brings that belief and that faith. Have you tried it that way?
Yes, and I think keeping yourself focused is so important, but the key is also releasing it. Ernest Holmes used to say, treat then move your feet, and that was basically saying, do your affirmations, whatever it is. Know the universe is going to supply whatever you need, and then get out and start doing something.
You have to
get up off your duff.
You know what I call it? Blowing breath into your affirmations by taking action. And you and I can stand in an elevator all day and affirm it moves to the third floor. But until you, me, or someone else takes action and pushes that button, guess what? We stand there waiting. So people need to take action. Now, anybody that's looking for a job, you know, like say they lost their job or career, I have affirmations in my book, Affirmations Your Passport to Happiness, where what they can do is do it. I, your name, deserve, and now have, I always put in the present tense, now have the perfect, lasting, successful career for me. Wherein, and you can say, wherein I receive in excess of so much per week, per year, per month, whatever you like, and then say, I am happy, my employers are happy with my excellent work, I am happy and fulfilled, I have harmonious working conditions, and to the good of all parties concerned. And then you always put to the good of all, like I said, your safety clause. And then I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and guess what? I fully accept. And they date and sign it. Now what have they done, Donna? They've made a firm and binding contract with their higher self, God, universal mind, or whomever they believe in.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's marvelous. Now, with our remaining time, I want you to talk about a master affirmation. Because you say your master affirmation is written only once.
Exactly.
And what's the difference between that and writing 77 times? Tell us what that master affirmation is.
Okay, now the master affirmation, let's take relationship for this one. Or do you want to take money? Do you want to do the money one?
No, do whatever you want.
Okay, well, let's do relationship, and then I can talk, because I touched on the career there. If they would start their affirmation, and they would do the master affirmation, would be, I, your name, deserve and now have a loving, lasting, happy relationship, which turns into marriage, if that's what they wish, with the perfect person for me. It's a man or a woman doing it, whichever one. And then they can say, we enjoy each other. We enjoy happy times with each other. He or she appreciates me and gives me my space as I give them their space. We are on a similar path, spiritual path. We enjoy the same things. We have a healthy sex life. We enjoy traveling. All the things that they want to do, they put in there. And then if it's a woman ordering up a man, or I say ordering up, affirming for a man, she could say he is about 6 feet, and be sure you say unattached, and some people say about their own age, and financially independent and healthy. And you, this is your order to the universe. So you put what you want. Now, if you sent to Sears and said, dear Sears, send me a skirt, they'd write back and say, dear Miss Donna, please be more specific. Give us a size, a color, whatever. And then they put that all into a master affirmation. They say, to the good of all parties, and then thank you, thank you, thank you. I fully accept. They date and sign it. Then what they do is they print that off, and they put that into a plastic insert sheet. And they make it colorful, put hearts around it, make it really, really so they love to look at it. And then the procedure is they take that out every morning and every evening and read it over. You see, your master affirmation you only do once. It's like doing the last will and testament. But they take it out and they read it over, their master affirmation in the morning, and then they step ahead and bring in their five senses. They see the outline of the person. They hear him saying their name, I love you. They can smell perfume or fragrance, or, you know, fragrance, cologne. And then what's the rest? They can feel his arms around them. And then they can, for taste, take a drink of fresh sparkling water or visualize biting into a juicy apple. Excuse me. And it's amazing how this happens. And then they have this, see, the procedure is only to take it out twice and read it over, because that's what you're watering and fertilizing your master affirmation. And then the short form affirmation would be, happy marriage to me now, happy relationship to me now. And with their short form, they can jot it down several times, or they can say it over and over again all day, because it keeps it on the front burner of their mind. So the procedure is simple. You just do your master once, deciding exactly, being very specific, making sure you say deserve and now have, to the good of all, thank you, thank you, thank you, date and sign it, put it in plastic so it doesn't get soiled, and then you just read that over in the morning and the evening, and then during the day you do the short form. And this is a powerful, powerful technique.
Well, there is so much in your book, Affirmations, Your Passport to Happiness. For those of you who are just joining us, we've been talking with Dr. Anne Marie Evers, and she is consistently called the Doctor of Affirmations. And Dr. Anne Marie, give us your website information. I know before we went on air, you said you have five. Which one would you want to give out primarily so people can find out more about your wonderful work?
Well, there are two that are very important to me. The first one is just annemarieevers.com, and that's simple, just my name.com. And the other is annemariesangelchapel.com, and this is where there's some videos on there, and this is where there's also short meditations for people, and everything on that website. The chapel website is free, and it's helped a lot of people. So those are the two, and I have so many others, but I'll talk about that another time.
Well, Dr. Anne Marie, I just think you have done something so special with your book, Affirmations. And again,
thank you.
Anne Marie Evers is spelled AnneMarieEvers.com. So Anne has an E on the end of it.
Yes.
Evers is Evers. AnneMarieEvers.com. I wish you nothing but the best of success. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and continued, well, happiness in all areas of your life. Thank you for sharing today.
And thank you. God bless.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break for just a moment, then we're going to be back with a lot more good things to share with you. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. By the way, Dr. Anne Marie said for any of you who are listening today, if you would like for her to design an affirmation for you, regardless what your concern might be, you can send her an email at annemarieevers@shaw.ca. So that's annemarieevers@shaw.ca for Canada. And be sure to put in the subject line, Donna Sebo. SEEBO. And that way she knows that you're calling and it's you've heard the show. So again, Anne-Marie Evers, or Evers, excuse me, Anne-Marie Evers at Shaw.ca. And she will write a personalized affirmation for you, no charge. Send her an email. It's a wonderful way to start your week and think about what it is you would really like to shift and change in your life. Affirmations do work. And her book, again, is Affirmations, Your Passport to Happiness. I received a beautiful email. Whoops, I forgot. Open lines. That's right. You can give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And all you need to do when you call in, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and I will then give you what I perceive. And after that, you can ask me a question about anything that is especially significant to you. For those of you listening here in the United States, depending on where you are in the world, we are celebrating a national holiday, Memorial Day. And I received this wonderful, wonderful story. The author is unknown, but I want to share it with you. It's about an old man and a Marine. And when I read the story, I just said, wow, this shows how important it is for us to really recognize and appreciate the value of those people whose lives have been dedicated to preserving freedoms and to answering the call, whatever it might be, for our country. This is the story. As I came out of the supermarket that sunny day pushing my cart of groceries towards my car, I saw an old man with the hood of his car up and a lady sitting inside the car with the door open. The old man was looking at the engine. I put my groceries away in my car and continued to watch the old gentleman from about 25 feet away. I saw a young man in his early 20s with a grocery bag in his arm walking towards the old man. The old gentleman saw him coming too and took a few steps towards him. I saw the old gentleman point to his open hood and say something. The young man put his grocery bag into what looked like a brand new Cadillac Escalade. He then turned back to the old man. I heard him yell at the old gentleman, saying, "You shouldn't even be allowed to drive a car at your age." And then, with a wave of his hand, he got in his car and peeled rubber out of the parking lot. I saw the old gentleman pull out his handkerchief and mop his brow as he went back to his car and again looked at the engine. He then went over to his wife and spoke with her. He appeared to tell her it would be okay. I'd seen enough, and I approached the old man. He saw me coming and stood straight, and as I got near him, I said, "Looks like you're having a problem." He smiled sheepishly and quietly nodded his head. I looked under the hood myself and knew that whatever the problem was, it was beyond me. Looking around, I saw a gas station up the road, and I told the old man I'd be right back. I got in my car, drove to the station, and went inside. I saw three attendants working on cars. I approached one of them and related the problem the old man had with his car. I offered to pay them if they could follow me back down and help him. The old man had pushed the heavy car under the shade of a tree and appeared to be comforting his wife. When he saw us, he straightened up and thanked me for my help. As the mechanics diagnosed the problem, an overheated engine, I spoke with the old gentleman. When I shook hands with him earlier, he had noticed my Marine Corps ring, and he commented about it, telling me he had been a Marine, too. I nodded and asked the usual question. "What outfit did you serve with?" He said that he had served with the 1st Marine Division at Guadalcanal, in Okinawa, and another place. He had hit three of the worst ones and retired from the Corps after the war was over. As we talked, we heard the car engine come on and saw the mechanics lower the hood. They came over to us as the old man reached for his wallet, but was stopped by me. I told him I'd just put the bill on my AAA card. He still reached for the wallet and handed me a card that I assumed had his name and address on it, and I stuck it in my pocket. We all shook hands, and everybody was happy, and I said my goodbyes to his wife. and then told the two mechanics that I'd follow them back up to their station. Once at the station, I told them they had interrupted their own jobs to come along with me and help the old man I really appreciated, and I wanted to pay for the help. But they refused to charge me. One of them pulled out a card from his pocket, looking exactly like the card the old man had given me. Both of the men told me that they were Marine Corps Reserve. Once again, we all shook hands, and as I was leaving, one of them told me I should look at the card the old man had given to me. I said I would, and drove away. For some reason, I'd gone about two blocks when I pulled over and took the card out of my pocket and looked at it for a long, long time. The name of the old gentleman on the card, it was in golden leaf, and under his name was written Congressional Medal of Honor Society. I sat there not moving, looking at the card and reading it over and over. I looked up from the card and smiled to no one but myself and marveled that on this day, four Marines had all come together because one of us needed help. He was an old man, all right, but it felt good to have stood next to greatness and courage, and an honor to have been in his presence.
Bowler, line one.
This is a story that I wanted to share with you. I know we've got a caller on the line, but before I go to that caller, I want to say, this Memorial Day, we need to remember all of us stand on the shoulders that have gone before us. The rights and privileges that mean so much to us, we need to be aware. We have to be the watch person for making sure we pass them along to those that will come behind us, those that have been born and are yet to be born. Donna Sebo here. We're going to go to our first caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from, and thank you for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Stephen from Toronto.
Hi, Stephen. Welcome. Well, it was absolutely wonderful having one of your Canadian authors on the show this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
All right. Let's get down to business with you, Stephen. First thing that I'm watching in my mind is that you've been encountering some obstacles. Now, these are not really a surprise to you. It's sort of what you expected to have to go through. But you're feeling a little frustrated because you've not been moving along as quickly as you would like. However, I want you to know that your persistence is going to pay off. You have got about six, and I'm looking at the number six in my mind. It's either 6 weeks or 6 months before your obstacles are going to be pretty much conquered by you. Now, one of the things I do want to make you aware of is that in October of this year, part of what you would have perceived as an obstacle, you're going to find you're going to be able to totally make a shift where what was considered an obstacle is just going to be eliminated. It's not even going to be there. It's going to be vaporized. So you are finding that your focus, your self-discipline, your follow-through is really the name of the game at this point. Don't look for any shortcuts. Because if you do, it's just going to delay things. You want to be absolutely consistent, persistent, one foot in front of the other, so to speak, and little by little, inch by inch, you're going to achieve what you want. There is a concern about someone who keeps interfering with you. It's as if I'm looking at a figure, and you're doing your due diligence, and you're going along, and all of a sudden they step right in front of you and get in your way. And I'm seeing you just sighing and saying, oh, no, not again. You need to realize that this person, and I'm perceiving it as a male. I could be wrong, but I really think this individual is not all that mature. I don't care what their educational level is. I just, in my view, as I'm looking at them, they remind me of a small child. You know how it is when you have a little one around? They're constantly, I want your attention. Now, if you distract them, they'll be fine, you occupy them, and then all of a sudden they come and they interrupt you again. Well, that's what this person reminds me of. is a very immature individual. Now, this could be someone who is like a boss or a supervisor that's into micromanaging. Whoever this individual is, it's an adult, but they're very childlike, and you just need to know that they have a lot of fear. You don't have the fear that they've got, but they don't know any other way to work. So you have to be very wise, deal with the interruption, and then offer distraction or take care of what needs to be taken care of and then get back on track. So this is going to be sort of a challenging process for you, but it's going to totally clear out of your space within a period, a relatively short period of time. So be diligent, be consistent, don't give up. You're going to reach your objective. Do you have a question that you want to ask me today?
Yes, thank you very much. My question is about my father. My father is has been dealing with serious back troubles for several years. Of course, serious is a relative term, but in his mind, it's certainly very serious. And this seems to be, how can I put it, a major crisis for him right now, and he's constantly debating about surgery.
Okay.
Which I don't
now,
have a...
Stephen, yeah. I need to take a break here. Will you stay with me, and then when you come back, I'll address your question. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We're talking with Stephen in Toronto, Canada. Stephen, let me see if I understand your question, which you had posed to me. Your father, you're very concerned about your dad, that he's having some back issues, and surgery is being considered. Now, your dad, when I'm looking at this in my mind, he needs to get another opinion, and he is right to be concerned because the people in his immediate vicinity are not really as skilled as what I feel they should be to serve him in the right way. And he's actually got not one issue with the back. He's actually got three, possibly four issues with the back. So this is something when I am looking at this, I want you to encourage him to get another opinion. And I would do some research on some back specialists because there are some techniques for surgery that if he were to implement it, it looks like we've lost Stephen, but I'm hoping he's listening. Stephen, if you're listening online, what I want you to do is be aware that your dad needs to get more than one opinion, and he may need to come into the U.S. for it. But he is correct. He should not go in for surgery unless he really knows the options. And because of new technology, there would be a way of correcting maybe two of the issues that would be with the back, but not all three or four. So your dad is wise in being cautious because there could be some damage to areas of nerve that would create pain going all the way down through his right leg, big time. So anyway, I know that we lost the connection there, Stephen. Thank you for waiting and for being on hold. And for those of you who are listening that would like to call in and chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. I want to let you know quickly, we're going to be having Jean Houston on tomorrow. She has a new book out called The Wizard of Us. Now, this is based on the well-beloved story of The Wizard of Oz. And Jean has done a delightful job with this, using metaphysical, wonderful, positive perspectives of this story that has captured the hearts and minds, especially after the movie Judy Garland made so many, many years ago, that is so loved today, even more so than was at the time that it was made. So we're going to be having Jean Houston on the air with us tomorrow. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Guido Mays. His book is The Wild Medicine Solution. What an awesome publication. Guido has put together so much wonderful information about how herbs can heal, why they work, and his presentation of this is just fabulous. So we're going to be talking about that. And then we're going to be going sort of into the sci-fi environment on Thursday, Waiting in the Silence by Rosalind Burney. Wow, what a writer. She has put together this amazing story, and I'm hoping she's going to make it into a trilogy of some kind, because, wow, it just brings forth so many concepts and ideas that are really relevant today. And then bouncing back, Linda Graham is going to be with us on Friday. We are going to be bouncing back. If you're experiencing adversity and you want to know the best way to handle it, Linda's going to be able to share some very, very good insights with you. So we've got a wonderful lineup of guests this week, and I'm so delighted that you're able to take time out and share with me these wonderful individuals who come on the airwaves to give you the best of what they've got. And that's what this programming, the Donacebo Show, is all about. You'd think I could pronounce my own name, right? Well, sometimes when you're busy talking, you don't always get things right. But anyway, it is a joy to be with you. And I wanted to share something. Oh, don't forget, you can give me a call at 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you some information about water. Now, we all need it. We all know how important it is. We're all aware of pollution and this kind of thing. But we so often get caught up with different things that we hear that we don't get perspective on water. Now, I've interviewed a number of people through the years of doing my show that say we have just as much water on this planet ever that we've ever had, and that's true. However, when they study history, and let's go back 4,500 years ago, there were armies engaged in war. It's the earliest documentation we have at this time. These were city-states of Lagash and Uma, the near the junction of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. They went to war over water. Why? Uma's king drained an irrigation canal leading from the Tigris. How do they know about this? There was a stone tablet that was engraved with all of the information. 60 soldiers died in that confrontation. Now, there are some organizations. One is called GRACE. It's the Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment. And it's satellites that are operated by NASA and Germany's Aerospace Center. They are very concerned that there are wars that are going to erupt on that same riverbank. Mm-hmm. You know that between the years 2003 and 2009, the Tigris-Euphrates Basin, and that's Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and western Iran, they are losing water faster than any other place in the world except northern India. During those 6 years, 117 million acre-feet of stored fresh water vanished from the region as a result of dwindling rainfall and poor water management properties. Weather changes. Water tributaries shift. Things evolve. They have seen this over and over again in their research. Syria, serious water shortage. So a lot of the things that we might be hearing about on the news may not be giving us the real picture of what's going on behind the scenes and what frightened people who cannot even get water for themselves, why they're agitated, and what's going on that's creating the agitation that most of us don't even give a second thought to. Remember, it happened in the early days of the U.S., too. Texas, many other parts of the country, wars were waged here in the United States. Why? Animals needed water. Water rights. Yes, more valuable than gold. This is Donna Siebel. I'm out of time. My goodness, the hour just went by like the wind. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted that you've been with me today. Won't you join me tomorrow? Same time, same place. This is Donna. Have a magnificent holiday. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.